right, good morning, everybody. It's Thursday, May 12th, 11:14 a.m. Last lecture. But music was appropriate. All right. Bring down the music. Let's see what we gotta do here. All right, so it's our last lecture, and I have up where we ended last time. So I was just picking up from this chapter and kind of going through what we had done. You know, we did the hydrohalogenations, oxymercuration, demercuration. We did hydroboration, oxidation. We did hydration reactions. And we also did hydrohalogenations with peroxide, which shifts the mechanism. And we started to talk about these star charts and a way of organizing material. And there's a whole lot of reactions that we can't cover yet. The best part, though, is that it's not like we're just not going to cover those reactions. When we come back in the fall, this is where we'll pick up and we'll start up with these reactions. We'll do a little backtracking. We'll remind you of what we already know. And we'll pick it up with the alkenes and we'll move forward with the alkenes. So that's kind of where we're going to let it go at this point. I didn't want to do a whole lot of new content today because I'm going to release the final exam today and let you guys work on that through the weekend. And so a whole lot of content in this last lecture really doesn't make sense. Sorry, my dogs are going to be barky today. So let me perhaps start a new lecture here and let's look at where we're leaving off. So I think this is going to be a pretty short lecture because I'm not going to go over new content, and I'm not going to try and go back and review everything. I'm just going to talk about the exam in general and what to expect. So the final exam, let's do it this way. The final exam will open today. I'll probably get that up this evening. And it will be due Tuesday. Tuesday of finals week, next week. The exam will be very similar to the first exam. I've decided to go ahead and just do a regular exam and not do it a full cumulative exam. That allows me to put a little bit more attention on those things that that we're doing right now. Although I should say that every exam within organic chemistry is a cumulative exam because you can't do the current stuff without also going all the way back to the old stuff. So if you don't understand resonance, if you don't understand electron withdrawing, electron donating, if you don't understand all those other critical components that we went over in the first exam, then this isn't going to make a whole lot of sense. So it's always cumulative anyway, but it'll focus on material after exam one. So we'll pick up and we'll look at chapter four. Chapter four is the alkenes and cycloalkenes. There's a little bit of nomenclature that falls in that. A little bit. I mean, that was where we really started. This was alkanes, not alkenes and cycloalkenes, but alkanes somehow. I don't know how I did that. Alkanes and cycloalkanes. There we go. This is where we started our nomenclature. We picked up and we did conformations. That was both Newman projections and conformations of six-membered ring systems. Those conformations become important in the SN1, SN2, E1, E2 chapter, as we're seeing, as we've done some of these review things within the lab as well. We've seen a few problems where those confirmations have come back to haunt us in the E2 specifically, as we start looking at E2. All right, so those are the big things that are in chapter 4. We pick up in chapter 5. Chapter 5 is stereoisomerism. Here it's really the Kahn-Ingold prelog rules. It's RNS. Enantiomers, diastereomers. Meso compounds. We also have enantiomeric excess, what we call percent EE, calculating percent EE, and calculating the optical rotation for a compound. And we use the symbol there for optical rotation. Those we use to a lesser extent. I mean, we put our main focus in the Kahn-Ingold prelog rules, R versus S, enantiomers, diastereomers. Percent EE was a small amount of what we did. So was the optical rotation component. We covered them, but we didn't do a whole lot of examples with them. So that's chapter 5. Chapter 6, really chemical reactivity and mechanism. In chapter 6, what I wanted you to get out of chapter 6 was Hammond postulate, really. So this is reactivity and mechanism. The mechanism component, I don't worry about as much because it's not as though I'm going to test you on the names of a step within a mechanism. I'm going to test you on the overall mechanism and arrow pushing within the mechanism. And the reactivity component, what we're looking at here was really endothermic versus exothermic. Knowing what those graphs look like, knowing where the transition state pen is not fully working the way I want. Let's see if we can get it to go here. Transition states, Hammond postulate, activation energy. This is a key component, and Hammond postulate. Once again, though, these are things that we use as we go through many of the other components. And so these, I don't test in and of themselves per se, but they're used within the other chapters. So I don't think of chapter 6 as being a massive chapter, nor do I expect to ask you what is endothermic or what is exothermic, or even what does the transition state look like. These are all things that are utilized within the other chapters, the SN1, SN2, E1, E2 chapters. The addition reactions to the alkenes, and all of those other things. So chapter 6 is really a smaller chapter. Chapter 7, this is the big one. So this is where we're doing substitution and elimination reactions. So this is our SN1, E1, SN2, and E2. That's what we're doing there. these involve reaction mechanism. Finding the product. Let's say determining the product or products. And then rates of reaction. So we can have competitions. Which reaction is faster? These may include also which reactants to use or which reagents to use. To give specific products. So there can be problem types that are like that. Out of the chapters, as we're looking at these, you know, the nomenclature is small, the conformations, the six-membered ring systems, those are a pretty good section. Stereoisomerism is a pretty good section. Chapter 6 is fairly small. Chapter 7 is monster in terms of the amount of information and content that is in that. We spent a lot of time going through Chapter 7. And then Chapter 8, we've done a little bit now. So in Chapter 8, this is the addition reactions to alkenes. Probably best if I just pull in this guy and throw this into the notes, that this is the best example of what we've been doing. So we'll take these out. And we have just these reactions here that we've looked at and that we've done. And so you're responsible for these reactions, for the mechanisms of these reactions, for finding the products of these reactions. And these may show up in various places as well. And that's it. So then that's where we cut it. And so what I would say is that you can expect to see Chapter 7, as it ties into Chapter 6, as it ties into Chapter 5, and even as it ties into Chapter 4, that everything that's in Chapter 4, Chapter 5, Chapter 6, it all gets used in Chapter 7. So this really all in here relates to Chapters 4, 5, and 6 all get used to be able to do everything that's in here. And so that's why I think of Chapter 7 as sort of the monster chapter, and why this information all kind of goes together is because this chapter, Chapter 7, uses everything that's in 4, 5, and 6, and you need to understand 4, 5, and 6 in order to be able to do everything you need to do within Chapter 7. So it's all coming back together. And then Chapter 8, the addition reactions, is really, there's a few mechanistic things that are a little bit different here in terms of electrophilic addition to alkenes, but by and large, it really ties into Chapter 7 as well, because many of these are about carbocations and carbocation formation and carbocation rearrangement and being able to control that. And that all comes out of the SN1 and the E1 reactions as well. Right, where we're looking at carbocation formation and those reactions. And so this is really just taking those E1 reactions and kind of running them in reverse with a few little caveats thrown in there. But that's the overall material. So that's the scope of the exam of what we're looking at. And as I said, it's not cumulative, so I won't be asking you specifically to go back and show me the resonance, although any problem that involves resonance, you need to show resonance, but I won't be asking you a problem that is just on resonance. The exam will be of similar size to the first exam. People felt like we had a lot more content on this exam than we had on exam one, but I don't think that's true. I think the content is fairly similar. It's not like there's a whole lot of more material that we're covering. It will be in similar structure. So there will be a mandatory part. And a part with optional questions. I usually split those two parts up so that it usually runs somewhere around 40 to 45%. And this part usually runs somewhere 55 to 60% of the exam. The number of optional questions is usually in the 3 to 4 optional questions. And I'll usually give you something like 8 or 9 options. I don't want to give too many options because giving too many options just makes it more complicated trying to figure out which one you're going to do. So very similar in structure that way. I think if there's anything else, it'll be uploaded on Canvas just the same way that we've been doing. I think that's about everything. I don't think there's any more wisdom that I can impart or anything more that I need to tell you, other than don't wait till the last minute to work on that exam. And stay off Chegg. No going on Chegg. I'm going to check to make sure that everything that I put up is not already existing on Chegg, and it better not show up on Chegg. This is your warning. Let's see what else. I think that's about it. You guys aren't here to ask questions, so I don't know what else to do. So I think I'm just going to cut it with a short video today. That kind of gives you the whole layout rather than giving you new content. And other than that, I will get those things graded and returned as quickly as possible. I'm still working. I think I've got almost all the quizzes done, except quiz 8, which is supposed to be coming in tomorrow. And then I'll go back and I'll work on those co-ops quickly too and get those back to you so you have those back as well. The last couple of quizzes that I did, 6 and 7, I put a lot of feedback on those quizzes. So if you had points that were missing or you didn't understand how to do something, I try to give you as much feedback as possible. Make sure you scroll down to the last pages and look at the feedback that I provided. Sometimes there's not enough room to give the amount of feedback that I want on the quiz itself. And this electronic format I found has been incredibly helpful for giving more feedback even than I normally do, because I'm allowed to just write page after page of giving you instruction and notes on what you're doing, what your misconceptions might be and how to improve them. So be sure that you look at that. I think that's about it. It's been a great semester. I've really enjoyed working with you guys, and I'm looking forward to coming back after the break. After the summer break and picking up with these addition reactions and running with it. We got lots more fun stuff to do. Second semester really gets into some fun chemistry, and we start to really use all of the things that we learn in first semester. So don't let go of all those ideas and concepts, because everything in organic chemistry builds on everything else. It's not like we go into a new topic that doesn't rely on anything that you haven't done. Everything relies on everything else. And so it all just continues to build. So hang in there. Don't let go of that stuff. And I'll see you guys in a bit in office hours. I think I'm coming up on office hours at 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And so a short video today. Y'all take care and we'll see you soon. All right. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.